The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hi, welcome. 888-727 back is the phone number. Say hi to Facebook Live. They're all watching on there and stuff. I see. There they are. They're all right there. Welcome back to the program and by Facebook Live. By the way, I'm trying to do these behind-the-scenes videos most days. So go to the Facebook page, like the Facebook page, share the Facebook page, and send Bitcoin to the Facebook page. That's our new policy. Everyone says follow us. Everyone says friend us, or Pat says thumb up me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. What I say is send Bitcoin to my Facebook.
If that's the new plan, Jeff Fisher Radio on Facebook, yes.
It's crazy Bitcoin. what he said about the guy from Zappo or whatever it's called. It could be worth $1 million per coin within 10 years. Or it could be worth zero. So good luck.
Both. I have never.
he said 20% chance worth zero, completely worthless. 50% chance it's worth $1 million a coin.
Yeah, it was making me think maybe I won't sell any. You know, like everyone's when it goes up for a little bit, and I don't have a lot, but what
you
I
could
do
take
have,
some. You could take your initial investment.
Yeah.
And then you're playing with the house money.
And then play with house money and let it roll and see what happens. I mean, kind of sounds like the right thing to do. It was pretty exciting. I don't think I've ever contemplated it going to. I don't really even contemplate 10,000 or 20 or 100,000 in my head. It's already at 4,000, so now I guess you have to come out and contemplate 10. But a million, I mean, I've never contemplated anything like that. I don't think of upside like that. I'm more of a downside guy.
Million a coin. I mean, if you buy one coin, if you can lose $4,000 without it, you know, really damaging your life, then why wouldn't you take that chance?
Yeah, I mean, is it better than a weekend in Vegas?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it might be. It could be. It's certainly a better better risk.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, well, Jeffy's a little hesitant. Now, Jeffy, it's interesting that you're the one that's hesitant, given the amount of illegal funds that you transfer around the world on a daily basis. You'd think, here's a great way to pay for drug shipments from Colombia. I mean, really, a lot of the things you're into would work well with Bitcoin, I would think.
Do I wish that was true. Do I wish that was true.
You're the only person I know that aspires to be a drug dealer.
The drug lord. Dealer. Anybody can be a dealer. I mean, who hasn't been a dealer before? You've sold something to your friends. That's a dealer. It's a big deal.
Pat, would you like to
everybody's
take that
done
one on?
That.
I haven't been a dealer.
Yeah, I haven't been a dealer either.
No.
In fact, most people haven't been dealers.
Yes. Yeah. Very few people have ever been dealers, Jeffy. So.
That's not true.
But the drug lords, what was it I heard a few years ago when I was in Houston? I think they said that these guys make like $1 billion a month for the drug lords in Mexico. $1 billion a month. That's like you had $12 billion a year industry. It's just
it's one of those jobs you want to work at for a month. It's all you need. You only need that first billion.
It's not really that long-term of a job. There's only a few that have long-termed it.
Yeah, and most of them wind up dead or in prison.
Well, you're in the business for your life.
Thousands of people dead because of it. Yeah. Thousands.
Yeah. It really doesn't seem like there's a way to get out of it.
There is.
Or no one seems to be able to do it.
Because they hunt you down, right? If you displease them. Apparently, they hunt you down and kill you.
Can't there be, like, a nice transfer, a sale?
Couldn't there be?
You know, like, hey, excuse me, you know, Pablo Escobar just says, excuse me, Jose, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours now. I'm going to go live on an island and take my profits. I mean, can't that just happen? Can't we have a nice ending like that in one of those movies?
Can't we all just get along? You know?
That's a better way of putting it. Thank you.
Can't we all just get along?
It doesn't need to go to a million, though, for us to people to do well with it. It just needs to go up, and it's gone up so far so fast already. It's pretty incredible.
I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy a 200. I mean, that's just...
Well, 200 you probably didn't.
Or 300.
Legitimately, though, we were on the air saying, I can't believe how high this has gone up at 1,200.
Yes.
And that was... Yes. That was, what, April of this year? March of this year?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's more than tripled since then.
And it's more than tripled since then. Luckily, though, your bank account's paying 0.9% now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Per year.
Woo!
Which is pretty great. And now some of them, I actually have one bank account now, 1.1%. I'm getting on that
whoa.
One.
Whoa, what?
1.1%?
Yeah. 1.1%. I do a lot of searching online to get from 1 to 1.1.
Uh-huh.
It took a long time, lots of work, but I finally landed there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Congratulations. You can make up to like $1.95 in interest this year. Would that be awesome?
I mean, I don't.
I mean, not that much,
not
but
that much. I don't have that much in the account. But
I mean, up to that's like the dream number.
Well, compound interest over multiple years, I could get to $1.95.
Right? Yeah, of course.
You know,
sure.
So there we go. So the speech last night, Donald Trump made one. First time he's made his first major address, right?
That's what it said.
That's what everyone kept saying.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't really realize it either. Made it in front of a large group of military. And I will say, as you may know, I'm not exactly complimentary to most things Trump does. I'm not a huge fan. But I thought he was actually pretty good last night. Now, I think Pat and I kind of disagree on the policy of it a little bit, although we both have, I think, the same concerns. But just from a political standpoint, I thought at the beginning of the speech he was a little off and it was a little clunky, but I thought he got his rhythm and it was, I think, a decent speech. He didn't say anything stupid.
He didn't sound as bad as he often does.
Yeah. You know, and it felt like he had a generalized handle on the issue, which was pretty rare. Now, I know he was reading it. I got it. But even when he reads stuff,
he doesn't sound like he has a handle on it.
It's like he's never seen it before.
Yeah.
It seemed like he actually knew what he was speaking of. Whether he's right
stuff.
Or not is a big question, of course. Yeah. But I thought like a really effective part of the speech, and I don't know if we have clips today. A lot of times we just don't even bother with the clips because, you know, you've seen them everywhere. But when he said, look, when I was running for president and when I was a citizen, I thought we'd pull out immediately. And now that I'm in here and talking to the generals, I realize we can't do that. That's a moment you do not see from Donald Trump very often. I thought it was really effective.
It's a moment you don't see, and it's a moment where it harkens back to what Glenn said after the meeting with George W. Bush.
Thought of the same
thing. It's the exact same thing, and it just reinforces how true it is. Mm-hmm. No matter who's in the office, they have to act and do about the same thing as the last guy. Because everybody has to do the same thing. That's just the way it is. That's how the world works. That's how this thing operates now. We've gotten into a situation of globalization where there's no other way.
And it's an interesting thing. In some ways, it's really bad, and in some ways, it's really good. I mean, you kind of want your president to be able to take bold steps to change policy. That's why you elect somebody different. However, on the other side of that, you kind of don't want every, you know, crazy person that gets the job to be able to go, you know, so far off the rails. You know, there is a level of stability it adds.
But the outgrowth of that is that there was a plan, and Carol being the name of a guy's first name, wrote this book in 1960, 61.
Quigley.
Carol Quigley. The name of the book, I can't remember. Can you?
No.
But he talked about the fact that the world leaders decided after World War II, this is how it's going to be. We can't win wars like we used to, like we did in World War II. It can't be like that anymore. We don't have a stomach for it. People don't want it. And our economies are going to be too interconnected. You will destroy everybody if you fight a war the way we used to.
Yeah.
So you can't. And starting with Vietnam, and this was written in the early 60s, starting with Vietnam, we saw that. We've really seen it in the Middle East ever since. We saw it with the Soviets. We've seen it with just about everything that's happened in the meantime.
And Vietnam really was a midpoint, right? Like, it was still sort of the old school way, but it was moving towards this way. This one, I mean, Afghanistan is a perfect example of this sort of new style of warfare. And you know, I kind of have been on the bandwagon of thinking it's a real, like, what we do now is wrong as compared to what we used to do. We used to go out and kick every, you know, we'd kick butt and we'd come home, like that idea. And I think that there's a legitimate use for that. I mean, like, you can't do anything else against the Nazis, right? Like, you mm-hmm. got to go in there and bomb the hell out of them and win militarily.
But you would think you couldn't do anything else either against ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Grenada. Which we shouldn't bring up because it's too sensitive for
Jeffy. In case you don't know, you just watched
18 minutes of hell.
He saw it on a map once.
18 minutes of hell.
His experience with Grenada is he saw it on a map one time.
Call it whatever you want. It was saved.
What'd you say?
Saved the Western Hemisphere from communism.
did you? Did you? Because I know our troops did a good job trying to do that. But did you? Was my question.
Yes.
Remember the day we actually had a Grenada vet call?
And he's like, I love you guys. I listen every day. But, man, it was not a joke.
Thank you.
I know.
I'm not making it into a joke. You too.
And he knew you did not surf, by the way. He was aware that you were stealing the valor of him.
Look. Mm-hmm. Just because we didn't see each other attacking the same during the battle, it's not my problem.
I think you can look at this in a way of, we kind of look at this, and where this starts for me is I don't like the thing that everybody in the news says, which is, this is our longest war. Now, look, I guess you can look at that some ways. To me, don't they always say the Korea thing is still going on? So wouldn't that be longer? I mean, how many times do we hear that when you're talking about North Korea?
Well, it's technically, but it's not. You know?
Well,
right, but I mean,
technically
it is. My point here is that this is a technicality. It is a technicality.
I will say Vietnam felt a lot longer.
A lot longer. Because it was war.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was war.
I mean, it was the same. You win territory, you give it back. You win territory, you give it back.
Brutal.
And it was on purpose. Mm-hmm. And they just kept retreating and giving it back and not going where they should have gone. And that's to, I don't know, Pyongyang and end the thing. And, I mean, they had Douglas MacArthur trying to get that done.
Yeah.
And he devised an incredible strategy. In the Battle of Incheon, where they had an amazing military maneuver. I won't go into all the stuff. You probably know anyway. But the Chinese had invaded. The Chinese poured across the border, 100,000 Chinese troops. And we routed them. Mm. And he was like, all right, Truman, let me go. I'll take this thing all the way to Pyongyang.
Now's the time.
And I'll take it to Beijing. And we'll end this thing once and for all. The Chinese were going to have to deal with him anyway. Let's do it now. And that's when he got fired. So.
Yeah. And that was obviously not ideal.
Not ideal.
But, when I say, like, the people who are fighting in Afghanistan are heroes. Everyone we lose is a complete disaster. But it is not war as we've understood it. Mm-hmm. And that comes with benefits and downsides. The downside is when you fight a war like this, it will extend longer than it used to. And I think that is a absolute consequence of our conscious decision to say, we are going to not carpet bomb every city. Mm-hmm. We are going to target buildings and try to knock out individual terrorists. And we're going to use smart bombs. And we're going to go a light footprint and all the things that we've talked about over the many years. I think that is absolutely true. The reason why Afghanistan is 16 years instead of two. Right. But I mean, when you look at it as a grand total and take a step back, those wars cost incredible amounts of lives. And yeah, we won them.
And money.
And
blood
money.
And money, mm-hmm. blood and treasure.
It really does,
and you don't really have the conclusion you're looking for.
Yeah, but look at Afghanistan for a second. We count this as the 16th year we've been in this war,
mm-hmm.
And you know,
or 17th if you listen to Donald Trump.
If you listen to Donald Trump, it is the 17th calendar.
He was apparently at war in 2000.
He was. He went early. He was really in support of this one before 9/11. He was there.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, this is the 17th calendar year of this war. In the 17th calendar year in Afghanistan, we have lost 11 military members. That is a huge tragedy. I'm not downplaying it at all.
What? 1,100, you mean? What?
This year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah, yes, this year.
Oh, okay.
We've lost 11.
Okay.
Now,
I thought you were talking about aggregate. Aggregate, it's what, 2,300 in Afghanistan?
Yes, 2,403. 2,403. So that's a lot. But again, mm-hmm. I'm not saying
we lost more than that in one day.
In one day, in one battle, in 1 hour.
In World War II.
In certain parts of Vietnam and
D-Day, man.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a different thing. And to count this and compare it to the length of World War II, to me, is not fair. I mean, this year, we've lost more people in boating accidents than we've lost in the war. So, I mean, you know, look, it's not to downplay that you lose, you know, one of our best that's over there fighting. It's a huge deal, but it's impossible to compare it to a World War II day or a Vietnam day or a Korea day or any of these things. It's more similar to trying to, you know, they use that term, which isn't exactly right here, which is a peacekeeping mission. It's not that, but it is that we are there trying to slowly push this society towards sustainability. And you might say, well, that's why we're there for 16 years. And it's true. We fought in World War II. We were there for 4 years. It was a four-year war, and we got a lot more done than we could ever get done in Afghanistan, even if it worked perfectly. If it turned into Kansas City next week, it's still nothing compared to what we did in World War II. And that only took 4 years. But it cost tens of millions of lives. Tens of millions. In Afghanistan, we looked this up earlier because we were discussing it, about 90,000 people, including our troops, their troops, and their civilians, have been lost. It's a huge tragedy. You're talking about, you know, 6,000 people every year dying. I mean, it's a God, nobody wants to lose life like that. But it is in a completely different universe than when you're losing millions and millions and millions of people every year. I mean, you know, it is, while we may never win in Afghanistan, and people talk about that all the time, what's the win look like? You know, maybe that's not the right way to think about it. Maybe the way, you know, like, we won World War II, no doubt about it, and we were much better off for it, but did it feel like a win to anybody? And yeah, you win, you had the parades, but you lost an entire generation of people. And, you know, one of the good things that has happened over the years, and I think the nuclear deterrent is a big part of this, is, you know, wars have decreased. Deaths due to war have decreased. And, you know, that is, you know, a positive. I think the fact that, you know, you don't want to cut, you know, and we may see this change at any time. I mean, if China starts launching nuclear weapons at us, you know, this is all going to change. But, you know, I certainly prefer this style
of war. It's that alternative. I will say that.
Yeah, a hell of a lot. It's a lot better than that.
This elongated thing is painful because it you know, just doesn't stop. It's like perpetual war.
It does feel like that.
But it's, you know, you break out the nukes and that's a whole different affair, isn't it?
And even if we win that, it's not going to feel like we won.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a weird line, and I'm not sure. I feel like one thing I will say about this and about Trump last night is I feel like he's taking it seriously. I feel like he's approaching the problem the right way in that he's saying, okay, give me these opinions. Generals, you're smarter than me.
And it's better than Obama.
Yeah, way better. I got
to
say.
At least apparently he's listening to the generals because I think it was they who suggested this. He did. It was against his intuition.
Yep.
Told us that.
Yeah.
All right, more coming up in just a second. But, you know, sometimes we forget about taking care of ourselves and our families in any eventuality. We worry about all these big world affairs and forget sometimes that, hey, there could just be a weather event that really messes things up for a while. Mm. Or, you know, you might lose your job and need some food.
Nuclear winter.
There's that. And that's difficult to prepare for, but you can get started along those lines with My Patriot Supply.
It's true. My Patriot Supply, they can actually, I mean, no one can prepare you for nuclear winter, but My Patriot Supply can get as close as anybody can, because you can really go anywhere from a three-day emergency kit, which is, okay, God forbid there's been a terrorist attack, you need to leave in a hurry, or there's been a natural disaster, you need to leave the area without really much preparation. That'll get you through that. This is 102 servings of survival food for only $99. That's their current special. It's ship free. And they can go a lot bigger than that as well. They can get you a year worth of food for less than $1,000 or right around $1,000. It's an incredible value for an entire year of food.
For three meals a day. Mm. Including really delicious things like the creamy chicken rice, lasts up to 25 years in storage, less than a dollar a serving. Please call them today. Please check this off your list. 888-411-5290 or preparewiththeblaze.com. That's 888-411-5290 or preparewiththeblaze.com.
Call now before nuclear winter.
All right. Try not to. Featured in the cones. Okay. Well, good. 888-727-BECK, Pat and Stu. Something I did want to bring up is this. I'm so tired of this Confederate thing. This statue thing. Can we please? I mean, I don't love them either. I really don't. I'm not a fan of Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, everybody who turned against the United States of America and split the Union. I'm not for that. Everybody who supported slavery, I'm not for that. Slavery is an inherent evil. And we did inherit it from the previous administration that was here on this continent, by the way. But can we stop with this weird, all of a sudden, fixation on getting rid of anything that might disagree with your worldview? Just ignore it. I mean, we lived in Baltimore for a couple of years, and there's this beautiful statue dedicated to Christopher Columbus. So what did this dumbass group do? They, in the middle of the night, went up to it, and racism is not the future or whatever, put up some signs, and then he took a sledgehammer to it and bashed big holes in the statue. I mean, first of all, isn't that a fundamental misunderstanding of history to compare Christopher Columbus to Robert E. Lee?
Yes, it is.
We were told when Trump first brought up the slippery slope thing, oh, that's a fundamental. You can't compare George Washington, Thomas Jefferson to Robert E. Lee. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's not what he was doing. He was saying, hey, next up is Washington, is Jefferson, and now Christopher Columbus, for the love of heaven.
Yeah, there, I saw another one where they had defaced a Catholic symbol. It was...
It's because they have no idea.
Do you know what it is, Jeffy?
They have no idea.
There's a Catholic symbol. They spray painted it. They damaged it. And it was, again, the same argument. Like, well, okay, religion is responsible for all these deaths around the world.
So they're tying everything into this.
Exactly.
They're tying everything into this.
In Houston, a man was charged with trying to plant a bomb at a Confederate
statue. Oh, yeah. That's going to bring that up, too. Yeah.
A bomb.
He had nitroglycerin. He had some other things. A cop came up to him, and he first tried to drink the nitro. I guess it didn't taste that great, and he spit it out.
Really?
Yeah. And then the cop was like, were you trying to damage this statue? Yeah, I don't like that guy. Oh, okay. Well, then, by all means, take some nitro to it.
On your way. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just throw that thing at it, and let's see what happens.
We're just going to treat you like the drunk drivers from, like, the 1950s. All right. Yeah, you're walking home. All right? Leave your car here. You're walking home. Pick it up in the morning. How about that?
Hey,
now,
make sure you wash your hands with that nitro. That stuff can be dangerous. You start clapping, that could be a problem for you. They have signs that Columbus and Washington were genocidal maniacs. And, you know, it's true in Columbus's case. I think we could admit now. Columbus opened up a bedding store with blankets that he coated with smallpox, and he sold them to the Indians.
I don't think that's accurate.
That bastard, he coated all of his merchandise, the blankets, the sheets, the mattresses, smallpox all over it, and then he just, in some cases, lowered the prices to where the Indians just couldn't say no.
I mean, smallpox blankets are an absolute confirmed fact to 99% of the people in the United States, and I would say also me until very late in life. I mean, when I grew up, that was what we did to Indians was give them smallpox blankets.
Yes.
That's how we dealt with them.
Yes.
Now, the truth is, like, it was one incident.
The truth, yes.
Right?
The truth is somebody had smallpox, used the blanket, and it wound up with the Indians. They didn't do it on purpose.
They didn't even do it on purpose.
I mean, and I don't even know if that's confirmed, because how do you know that from 400, 500 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. Jeffy, we could ask Jeffy. Jeffy, was the smallpox blanket thing intentional? What was it like when you were there?
We were told never to admit it.
All right. That makes sense. Christopher Columbus was probably not a great governor, but he was not a genocidal maniac. He was not out to kill these people. He was a deeply spiritual man. He was an explorer, and he found the Dominican Republic.
Blah, 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 blah. So what? I want that statue torn down.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
So it's interesting because we've been told over and over again that Republicans loved the way that this was handled by Trump. And, like, you know, people have been sending me, like, look at this poll. His approval rating's up. And it's like, well, I can't.
Is it?
No, it's not. It's about, it hasn't hurt him, I would say, dramatically. It's about
like
flat.
Like 34% still?
35? No, 34 was always the low end. Average was about 37, and it's about 37 now. You've seen some polls in the 42 range, some polls in the 35, 34 range. But it's in the upper 30s. And I don't know, he hasn't shed 10% of his base. And I don't know that it's possible, really. I don't know what he could do. I don't think he could do a normal president thing.
Smallpox blankets.
If he gave smallpox blankets, maybe people would start to turn on
him. If he pulled a Chris Columbus.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that might hurt him.
He might
do
that.
So.
Yeah. Here's the his response to events in Charlottesville, 28% approve, 56% disapprove. Has Trump been putting neo-Nazis and white supremacists on equal standing with their opponents? Which is a weird thing to say. I mean, everyone deserves equal standing, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you deserve equal standing and then get judged on your individual actions. That's how it's supposed to work.
To me, totally fair. Other than the death of the one woman and the one moron who drove his car into them.
And that was not the whole group necessarily.
No. It was one freaking guy. Other than that, you can compare, to me, neo-Nazis to Antifa.
Absolutely.
Absolutely
outside
comparable.
Of the, and absolutely. Look, that was the biggest event of the weekend. So I can understand why people aren't making that distinction. Mm-hmm. And I would say the president should not have been making that distinction in press conferences. But I will say, Antifa is a real danger. They've taken people to the hospital. They've damaged lots of property. They beat the crap out of people. They've stolen things. They are not a good group. This is not like they're just
Something's
as bad.
Something's on fire. I mean,
outside of like, and people keep saying, "Well, that's the ideology." You're just saying, this is a massive ideology. This is just a group of people trying to stop that ideology. First of all, that's total bullcrap. They have an ideology as well, and the fact that they call themselves Antifa, which is short for anti-fascist, is the only part of it that means that they're anti-fascist. They're active fascists. They might not be racist, right, or at least not racist in their own mind, but they are absolutely 100% behind these terrible movements that have been seen throughout our history. They're violent actors, and they will at some point kill somebody. And we're all supposed to, at that point, we're all supposed to say, well, they're just trying to stop fascists. They killed that fascist, but that's a fascist. Yep. No, death is death. And I have no problem admitting that in Charlottesville, the white supremacists were worse because one of their people killed somebody and wounded a 20. So that was really bad and is much, much worse. However, in the past 10 incidents, Antifa has been as bad or worse. And this is not...
I'd say worse.
Yeah, many. I mean, they were...
Other than that one incident, which granted, is big.
Huge.
They've been worse.
Yeah, I mean...
And they're not anti-fascist. They're anti-capitalist.
Yes. They're
anti-American.
Yep.
And so, let's just call it what it is.
The Soviets were anti-fascist and anti-capitalist.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, and anti-American
guys. It doesn't make them good guys. So I mean, it's a kind of a ridiculous thing. People should be judged on their actions. They should get equal footing and then judged by their actions, even if they have horrible viewpoints. There's no, to me, there are no good Nazis and there's no good Antifa members. If you're walking out there and pelting cops in the head with urine bottles, I don't care if you've killed somebody or you haven't killed somebody, you're still a bad person. You become a lot worse if you decide to kill someone, which is why the white supremacists were worse in Charlottesville. But, I mean, let's not glorify this group. These are terrible human beings.
Right.
A lot of them have taken violent action against people trying to protect us. That's a big freaking deal. Even if you don't like the police. You know, a lot of these guys, we're Black Lives Matter. We don't like the police. Therefore, we like Antifa. Don't associate yourselves with that. You really don't want to get yourselves involved in that because they're going to do something a lot worse. As bad or worse than what you saw in Charlottesville one of these days. And we saw this with, for example, the Dallas shooting just a year ago. We saw this with the shooting at the baseball field 2 months ago. These things are real and happening actively. In this one instance, in this one city, the white supremacists were worse. But we've seen violence from the left that has been just as bad very recently.
And it's pretty agonizing that if you don't denounce it, you're for it. I mean, I'm getting pretty sick of that,
I am
too.
Sick of it, too. Like, I heard this criticism of Paul Ryan. Ryan did a town hall for CNN last night, and they're like, and he said, look, you know, Trump's statement at the press conference was a mistake. He messed up. We have to make sure we're clear on this. They came out, they're like, well, why didn't he say it the day of? love. You know what? It's not. He does not have to come out and denounce everything you don't like for Donald Trump. Man. He said it. He was clear about it. He did a good job, generally speaking, in the town hall, from what I saw. You can't. These standards the media is applying here many times are ridiculous. We have a lot to do with the poll here coming back in just a minute. There's a bunch more that I think you'll find interesting in here, including one stat the media is really, I think, misusing and extrapolating to ridiculous lengths. We'll come back with that here in just a second. First of all, I want to tell you about Patriot Mobile. The fact is your current phone carrier could be supporting groups that are very friendly to things like Black Lives Matter and beyond that. Even to Antifa. A lot of these groups, you know, the money flows through these groups pretty freely. Sometimes, you know, a more acceptable group will donate it to the less acceptable group. Now, when you're signing up for a phone, that's not what you're trying to get involved in. You just want phone service.
Yeah. Luckily, Patriot Mobile won't be doing that to you. They offer nationwide talk and text, high-speed 4G LTE data, and great prices that are lower than what you're paying now. And then they take part of what you do pay them, 5% of your monthly bill, and they donate it to a conservative organization of your choice.
Yeah, Marissa in the control room, I've been thinking about this for a while, and every time we do this commercial, I think of the same thing. Let's get a list of some of the actual charities. Because, I mean, we say it all the time. Yeah. It goes to left-wing charities. Let's get to the actual names, and we'll find there's a whole list of them. I mean, these groups are not hiding it. They're actually proud of it, that they're supporting left-wing progressive causes.
And Planned Parenthood is definitely one of them.
It's definitely one of them, yeah. PatriotMobile.com/patents2. If you go there today, you can take advantage of the back-to-school special that's going on right now. It's a great deal. Get unlimited talk, text, and data, along with free Samsung or iPhone, all for a flat fee of only $55 per month. You're not going to do better than that.
So use that promo code, BACKTOSCHOOL, and they'll also waive your activation fee. Okay? PatriotMobile.com/PatentStew. PatriotMobile.com/PatentStew. Or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
About that? Can we talk about that at some
point?
Yeah. Okay. Let me come back here to this poll real quick. Views of the alt-right and neo-Nazism. Okay. Alt-right, 10% approve of it, 50% oppose, and 41% have no idea.
I wonder about that approve of it. I mean, is that a free speech thing? Is like, can you hold, is it acceptable? I think because they worded it
weird. Well, no, that's the neo-Nazi one, because we're getting into that here in a moment.
Oh, okay.
Holding neo-Nazi views is acceptable, 9%. Unacceptable, 83%. And what the media is doing with this is saying 9% are neo-Nazis. And they'll extrapolate it even further and say 22 million adults. 22 million
adults. And they never
adults.
Do this with the Islamic thing, with the Islamic extremism thing.
That's a great freaking
Are you
point.
Kidding me?
Oh, my God.
You apply that standard to Islamic extremism.
And that's how you get to 100 million terrorists, right? I mean, when this happened with Glenn years ago.
Oh, they went apoplectic over it.
Because he said, you know, maybe 10% of Muslims in the Middle East are terrorists. And Fareed Zakaria did like 10 segments on CNN about him and saying what a terrible person he is. And then, of course, I informed him exactly what the definition of the word terrorist is. And Glenn was 100% accurate in that. Mm-hmm. In fact, he undercut it when you look at it that way. But anyway, so that was a big controversy back in the day. Now this is like, 22 million Nazis, that's all.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think if you look at that and you say, if I ask you, are holding neo-Nazi views acceptable? And the acceptable is the word that I feel like is important here. To me, the answer to that is probably, I would answer that probably no. In the acceptable to me is I would not accept someone who holds them in like my circle of friends. However, if you instead translate that question
from a freedom aspect,
First Amendment, accept them in our country, do they have the same rights as everybody else?
They do.
I would answer yes to that.
Yeah.
So I think to say that 9% of people said, you know what? Well, of course. I mean, look, it's First Amendment. You know, they even though they're a-holes, they're okay and they belong here. I think from that standard, you can say the answer to that is yes. And so maybe there's 3% or 2% or 1% that actually think that neo-Nazis are right on issues. But I think a decent amount of people are just saying, like, well, yeah, I mean, I might not like the ideas. But in reality, when it comes down to it, they are allowed to have them.
Uh-huh.
Acceptable is a very weird way to say that. Do you agree with neo-Nazi principles? You're going to get lower. And I would say also
much lower.
I would say also anything under 10% in one of these polls is anything from noise in the poll to pranksters. What is it, 6% of people say we didn't land on the moon? I mean, you know, I don't know. Is 9% that crazy? I mean, yes, there are people who believe we didn't leave on the land on the moon, but it's not a section of society worth mentioning per se. So I don't know. I think it's kind of been blown out of proportion. And this all kind of stems from obviously the Charlottesville thing and that great documentary piece that Vice did on it. I really think that helped. That and the fact that the car wreck was caught on video really helped accelerate this into a real national issue. And part of that explains to me why Trump wasn't so great on it initially. I don't know that it really hit people that it was this big a deal until it hit people. You know, when you had the car thing being a huge part of that, but that being on video, and then the Vice thing, which has been viewed over 40 million times.
Whoa.
40 million times now, and it's a 22-minute video.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Wow.
But one of the guys in there, the guy who was the big white supremacist featured, has been featured on TV before. This was sent in, it was sent in on Twitter, actually. Stephen Kent, who's been on the show before, has sent it in to me, and I had never seen it before. But it's kind of amazing. He was on the Colbert Report back in the day.
This Nazi was,
and he was apparently, I don't think he was a Nazi
at
the time.
Crying guy, right?
Yeah, and he was also a lot fatter, which is kind of interesting to see where he came from back in the day. Let's watch a clip.
Deep in the heart of New Hampshire lies the small town of Keene, a pretty place where the iron fist of authority has run amok. But help is on the way.
Meet on the right there?
The Free Keene Squad. James Cleveland, a.k.a.
I think it's fair to say that I'm the mastermind.
The mastermind. Garrett Ian.
I would identify myself as an anarchist.
What the hell?
Chris Cantwell.
There he is. Whoa. 38 caliber. Serious?
Yeah, wow.
Revolver in a paddle holster. And I carry it on my hip.
The Enforcer. The Free Keene Squad has a clear plan to free the people of Keene. Tell them, Mastermind.
Free Keene necessarily isn't about freeing people per se.
What would you say?
A powerful vision for a better tomorrow.
There he is.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny.
What a group of losers.
So it's interesting. Oh. They were very fired up about parking tickets.
Come on.
Which is the whole thing. They're trying to free Keene from parking tickets. Because I think, you know, he at one point at least considered himself some sort of libertarian at one point and thought it was wrong for the government to be finding people for parking in places, I guess. Actually, let's watch the rest.
So Free Keene sprang into action by running ahead of meter maids and putting coins in the meters before they expire. They call it Robin Hooding. They've been filming themselves doing it for years and have posted hundreds of clips on the web, some of which have gotten multiple views.
I'm Robin Hood. I feel like I'm a superhero. I'm out there doing good for the community.
Which has the tyrannical city government shaking in their boots.
Probably the most controversial issue wasn't them plugging a meter, because quite honestly, none of us cared. What we cared about was they were following around the meter attendants and harassing them.
They're not harassing. They're annoying for liberty.
I was like, hey, why are you going that way? So we're going to follow you wherever you go. You're not going to get away with it today.
You take money from people by force. Why do you behave this way? I don't think that's an appropriate thing for people to do to each other.
I'd like you to stop following me around. No,
nobody likes what you do. It's a crappy position to be in life.
Go back to your truck and drive away.
I'm doing my job.
Okay. Doesn't look like it.
Yes, this may look like the Free Keene Squad are being total d- to innocent meter maids, but if that were true, why doesn't anyone stop them?
I find that when I carry a gun, people are very unlikely to hit me.
Well, yeah, that does... That'll do it.
That's pretty funny.
Pretty interesting. A weird, twisting life this guy has lived. And now he has four warrants for his arrest from stuff he did in Charlottesville, apparently.
Oh, so we know that now?
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. One of them about because he pepper sprayed somebody who randomly in the crowd. So this is not going to end well for this guy.
No.
Is good. Behind bars is a great place for him. You know, it's not...
he'll be crying then.
That's for sure.
You're probably right.
888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu is inevitable. What are you going to do?
That's the worst slogan of any show. It sounds like we're hurting them.
I know.
It's like a negative consequence. It's like at some point, death and taxes.
Well, you don't want to raise expectations too high. No.
Lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeffy.
Hi. 888-727-BECK.
Jeffy's here today, by the way. Jeffy, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
So you didn't win the lottery, obviously, over the weekend, did
you? No one won the big one.
No one won.
No one won the big one on Saturday, so.
Wow, what's it worth now?
$650 million, right?
Oh, you're starting to talk about real money now.
I know. I think cash payout, you're looking at $411. Yeah, I mean, now definitely.
Have they done the math to find out if it's worth a dollar?
Yes, and you kind of think,
$650 million prize?
Yes, they have done it, and it's kind of interesting. So the Powerball expected value to hit it all, you could hit it at the, they're saying if you buy a dollar, if you buy the ticket, you're going to get an expected 54-cent return. So you get the dollar back plus a positive 54 cents.
See?
So
how do
positive,
I do that?
Right? If
Why?
You bought every combination. So the point is your expected value. Mm. Like, for example, if I were to say, you give me a dollar, I'll give you $10. I'll give you a 1 in 2 chance at $10 if you give me a dollar, right?
Okay.
Okay, so your expected value, you would either get $0 or $10.
Or 10.
But your expected value would be $5.
Okay.
Right? That's how that stat works.
I see.
So expected value is 54 cents. So you'd actually
this
get
is
a
complicated
positive,
gambling stuff.
Yeah, it's a positive. Yeah. It's how you a return on investment. So you would expect statistically, that if you spent a dollar, you get $1.54 back. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now that, of course, means a lot of different things. For example, the $650 million jackpot is an annuity, so that's not exactly right. If you take the lump sum, your expected return goes to -27 cents. Okay. So right off the bat, you're already in the negative if you take the lump sum, because it's only what you said, $411.7 million.
How can I be in the negative? I'm going to win $411 million, Stu.
Yeah, see, that's not how that
works.
So you're losing your investment now. Now you go to the idea of getting taxed. Sadly, after taxes, it goes to a -57 cent value. Is Powerball? I'm sorry. Is it $1 or $2? Is it two?
Well, two and then three if you play the power play.
Okay. So it's only so when I say it's $2, you would get back $2.54. So this would be a -57 cent value. So for every $2 you would invest, you'd expect to get back $1.43.
Plus the odds. Look at the odds. 292 million to 1.
Yeah. But again, if it's that's what most people do is okay, it's 200 million and 292 million, but you're going to get 500 and something million,
right.
So it's worth it.
Yeah,
and not so much because then you got to add in the after tax lump sum expected value, which makes it -98 cents expected value. So now you're investing $2 and you're getting back $1.02. This is all Business Insider did this great breakout. And the biggest issue here, I think, where it really kills you is you're going to get a potential of a split pot. And so then you're already losing money, and then if someone else hits it, you really get screwed.
If I split the $650 million and win $325 million, I'm not in the negative.
This is the problem with our society. Jeffy is the problem with our society. Something you already knew, but is now confirmed. Because that's how people look at it, and I think it's sensible, right? You'd say like, what if I buy every combination, I'll win. Well, take taxes. Take the lump sum penalty. Take the idea that other people might win as well, and very easily you could wind up not. You could spend $200 million to buy all the combinations and lose. That's
Do you have a ticket? Do you have a ticket this week?
I have more than one ticket.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And is this a regular thing for you? I didn't know you played the lottery.
No, I'm not really. I mean, I play the Powerball. You know, when I think of it. It's worth, you know, it's an easy $3. Just play the power play.
Have you ever won anything?
Well, I bought the Powerball tickets the other night, and my daughter wanted to play one of the scratch-offs, so I bought her one of those. She won 20, so I'm up.
$20?
Yes, I'm up.
Huh. You're up?
It was my money that bought the ticket. It was my 20.
Yeah, but you spent more than that on the actual tickets.
No.
How much did you buy?
Well, I bought a couple of power play tickets. That's $6. And I bought the scratch-off ticket, which was, I think, $2 or $3.
So you spent $9 and you got $20 back or whatever.
I'm up.
Well, that's
kidding me. Way
sure.
Up.
Don't broaden that timeline at all, because then anyone can find the opposite. Take a break. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Back in just a second. So let me tell you about Dawn to Dusk. Dawn to Dusk is a really cool product. It comes to you from the fine people at Brickhouse Nutrition. Now, what does this do? It is a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement, and it lasts up to 10 hours. It increases your energy, which you might assume when you hear the words energy supplement. It also improves mood and stimulates your brain, all with no jitters. So you got the upsides, you don't have the downsides here, which is really great. It's easy, too. It's not like some really gross drink. Some of them are like these really, I don't know, nasty drinks that I don't want to deal with. This one is very easy to take. If you're tired of kind of wasting money on these 7 cups of coffee, on the 45 energy drinks, and then you get the sugar crash afterwards, you don't want to deal with that. You want something that's going to give you a boost and increase your focus. Get through the workday. This is for you. Get 15% off 1 month supply with the offer code STEW at checkout when you go to BrickHouseStew.com. BrickHouseStew.com. Give it a try. It's BrickHouseStew.com.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen the catch.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
You had the Venezuela story from the Little League World Series.
I wish we had that.
We should have sent that in.
Yeah, we should run that tomorrow because Venezuela was playing Dominican Republic, and it was I think the bottom of the sixth because they only play 6 innings, and Dominican was ahead. The pitcher's pitching to the kid from Venezuela, and he crushes one out to the fence over the head of the right fielder. And they score a couple of runs, win the game. The pitcher who threw the pitch that got hit immediately falls face first into the grass, sobbing uncontrollably. The guys, it just gutted him. Really sad. Really, he's just crying. And his coach comes over and picks him up. And then the other team comes over and hugs him. And they start hugging him and telling him it's okay. And it was a really cool moment. Really nice.
What's wrong with you, Jay?
That's pathetic.
You're the worst.
That's pathetic.
You are the worst person on earth.
He should have dropped to the ground crying and giving up the game. And then the other team has to come over and console him? No.
Well, typical Jeffy
cool
parenting moment.
Thank you for ruining it.
Thank you for ruining it. Here's a moment I don't think Jeffy can ruin. One of the most amazing catches, honestly, you'll ever see in the Little League World Series the other day. Watch.
Unreal!
I mean, he cleared the fence catching the ball.
Wow. Wow. Can we see that again? Let's see that again. One more time. One more time. Diving.
Unreal.
Oh, beautiful.
Barely even touched the fence.
Eddie's we only got fine.
The replay there. I mean, it's in fast motion, it looks really ridiculous, too. Now, do you know, Jeffy, I heard that they actually gave him the home run.
What?
Heard that. Is that true or is that
not
true?
That can't be true, right?
It doesn't make any sense. But because he essentially jumped over the fence and didn't stay in the playing field, I heard that he got the home run. I don't know if that's accurate or not. We'll have to look it up.
Interesting.